Every time the Blackhawks win this season, you could win big with Circa Sports Illinois. One fan scores a two-night stay at Circa Resort and Casino, and 100 more win a $100 Circa app credit. Don't miss your shot. See the Blackhawks contest page.
Welcome to Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Charlie Romeliotis here in our downtown Chicago studio on a Saturday night, joined as always by my guy, Jack Heinrich. And the reason why we're coming to you on Saturday is because Jack Heinrich's Northwestern Wildcats were on a total run this week. We were supposed to be either be Tuesday, Wednesday, and then they kept pushing our show back. So we're like, let's do it before the pregame show on Saturday. What was that experience like? I know you were covering every game at Northwestern at the United Center.
It was fun. It was a good run. It was a tough year, but it was a good end of the year. So let's carry that in the offseason. They played a bunch of young guys, so hopefully that helped them out there with their confidence.
They sound like the Blackhawks, playing a bunch of young guys on a little bit of a rebuild.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Retool, rebuild. A couple freshmen and sophomore growing up, and hopefully there's pointing up for the Hawks and the Cats here on GN.
Well, I love it. Because of the Big Ten tournament that's going on, and then the March Madness obviously is going to be starting next week. Also, next week's show is going to be, I think it's before Friday's game.
At the UC.
At the United Center.
I think it's the first time.
Yeah, so it'll be, we'll be doing the show from 6 to 7.
There you go.
And then we'll have my pregame show at 7 o'clock. So we'll have like an hour and a half just talking Blackhawks hockey next Friday. So you're not going to want to miss that. But let's get into this week. We're only doing a 30-minute show, obviously, because of the Blackhawks pregame show that I'll have at 8:30. A lot has happened in the last week and a half. The last show that we had, Jack, was 12 days ago. There has been that was pre-trade deadline.
Yeah.
So that was a long time ago, and so a lot has happened since then. I'd be remiss if we didn't start out the show by giving our condolences to the Troy Murray family, and we know we've been talking about Troy pretty much all week, but we didn't have an opportunity to do so here on Blackhawks Live. So we're thinking of Troy as always. I think it's really cool that the Blackhawks are going to be wearing number 19 on their helmets, the decals, for the rest of the season. So we're always thinking of Troy. But let's kind of dive a little bit deeper into the trade deadline, which we weren't really able to do on the last show because we were kind of talking a little bit more about what could happen for Chicago. And my gosh, they got a lot of business done, and they got more work done that I thought they were going to be able to do by trading Jason Dickinson, Connor Murphy, Colton Dock, and obviously Nick Foligno, which was on trade deadline day. It's a significant portion of the leadership group for the Blackhawks.
It was all of them.
It was all of them. And I honestly can't remember the last time that the Blackhawks, or just any NHL team for that matter, shipped away their entire leadership group. And so the Hawks are really handing the keys to the young players moving forward. We'll see. Right now, Connor Bedard and Tyler Bertuzzi are wearing the A's on their sweater. They have elected not to give out a third A, in part because I think the next time they give out an A, I think they want it to kind of be more permanent, since they have handed over the keys, the leadership keys, to the young guys. So that'll be more of an off-season discussion on how the Blackhawks are going to want to tackle that. But I do want to talk about some of the returns that the Blackhawks got for some of these players, which I was honestly quite sure. I was not expecting, Jack, the Blackhawks to get a first round pick at this year's trade deadline. And they were able to do so in the Jason Dickinson and Colton Dock trade. And then you couple that with the fact that they also got a second round pick for Connor Murphy. I thought Kyle Davidson did a nice job. I know it really stripped the roster and kind of removing all these veterans from it. But I think in the long term, Kyle Davidson collected more draft capital and potentially trade ammo to use down the road to go out and get an impactful type player.
Yeah, you just look at their next draft. I think they have two first round picks, the next two, and then I don't know if I can count that high for how many second rounders they have. So
a ton.
He did do a good job, and I did like when he was talking to the media that he's like, we don't like being in this place, but I mean, when you're dealt this hand, you kind of have to play what you've been dealt, and I thought he did a good job, especially that Dickinson trade when he got the first round pick. And I know they're taking on Mangiapane's salary and whatnot, but that was probably part of it. But turning Jason Dickinson, did they sign him?
They acquired Jason Dickinson from Vancouver, but they also got a second round pick with Jason Dickinson to take the contract. And so, yeah, they essentially have gotten a first and a second round pick for Jason Dickinson.
Yeah. I mean, just turning that in, and then he's obviously one of your leaders for the last 3 years and helped the young guys too. So, I mean, it's just a great move on his part. Now, hopefully what he said he's ready to do, but like, hopefully you can package that into an impact player, or they have all these chances to draft one, but it's getting pretty crowded in Rockford, so they might have to start packaging those to move back in like they did with Mason West last draft.
Yeah, no question. Let's talk about some of those draft picks that the Blackhawks have collected. They now have, the way I'm going to phrase it, is the Hawks have 5 first-round picks over the next 3 years. And the way I'm, the reason I'm phrasing it like that is because the Florida Panthers pick that they have this year is top 10 protected. If Florida ends up finishing in the bottom 10 and they end up keeping that draft pick, that first round pick is going to slide to 2027 for the Blackhawks. So it's up in the air on what's going to happen with that first rounder that they have with Florida. And then the first round pick that they have with Edmonton that they had in the Jason Dickinson trade is a 2027 first round pick. However, if Edmonton, I'm forgetting about this off the top of my head, but if Edmonton moves that before next year's trade deadline, then it slides to an unprotected 2028. Or it's like a 2028 that slides to 2027. It's one or the other. I digress. But the Hawks have 5 first-round picks over the next 3 years. They also have 7 second-round picks over the next 3 years. Now, that's a lot of draft capital, and at some point, you do want to start using that trade, the extra draft picks that Kyle Davidson has collected to potentially go out and acquire some impactful type players. And quite honestly, like, I was looking at the free agent class of this summer, like earlier today, it is very thin. Like Nick Schmaltz is now off the board because he re-signed with the Utah Mammoth. There are other players that were supposed to be available this year, Kaprizov, Leon Draisaitl, that they're not available anymore because they are re-signing with they've re-signed with their respective clubs. And so it's a very thin free agent market. And so at some point, Kyle Davidson is probably going to scan the trade market, and when an impactful type player does become available, I think he's gonna want to pounce on that. And we actually, we'll play the audio now. I asked him this last Friday during his post trade deadline press conference about this. Like, you've accumulated all these first round picks. In the past, we've seen Kyle package he'll package a couple seconds to move into the back half of the first round to go out and get a third first round pick. But now I think Kyle's ready to kind of package those picks to go out and acquire a potential impact type player under two conditions. One, if it makes sense, like they're not going to go out and get a player that doesn't fit the long-term picture of the Blackhawks. And so you want to be responsible there, but two, that player has to become available, and that's really hard. So here was Kyle Davidson's answer when I asked him about this specifically, whether he's ready to package some of the picks to go out and get an impactful type player when that opportunity does present itself.
Of course. Yeah. And that's not something we're necessarily married to only happening down the road. Like, those are things that we have explored. We have, attempted. And, this, the reality of it is that really good players, especially really good young players, are so hard to shake loose. It is what it is. And it's natural. It's understandable, but it's something we're always trying to do. And so we've got the ammo to continue to explore those avenues and try and acquire talent. And so, with the future in mind, with the growth and understanding where our gaps may be and where we may need to add in the future, both in the short and, long term, based on when we have draft picks, we got them for the next number of drafts. We're well positioned for that. And so it's something that you have to plan for and be prepared to execute on if the opportunity arises. And what we can control is being prepared. And we are prepared from that standpoint. And so we've got the capital, we've got the assets. It's just waiting for the right window to open to act on that. But again, we can't act if we're not prepared. And so we are prepared.
Well, there it is. Kyle Davidson, his own words, saying the Blackhawks are prepared, and something that he said that they've explored in the past and have attempted. Again, it's really hard to go out and say, all right, let's go get our Marian Hossa type player, right? Which I know came via free agency, but if you want to land a big fish, it's like you want to go out and get that player, but the rest of the NHL is also looking for a similar type player. And one name that kind of surfaced last week that was a little bit of a surprise was Matthew Knies out of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And it was rumored that the Maple Leafs were at the very least entertaining offers for Matthew Knies. Now, I don't think they were necessarily shopping him, but they were reportedly taking calls on essentially anyone not named Austin Matthews. And so, like, that's a name that is very intriguing to me because he is locked up under a pretty favorable contract for the next several years. He's a guy that's more of a power forward. You know that he's going to play in your top six and give you kind of that jam and play consistent top 6 minutes. And so the Hawks have the draft ammo to go out and get a player like that. And ironically, there were reports a few years ago. I don't know if you remember this, Jack, but the Blackhawks originally, I think, tried trading Brandon Hagel and Marc-Andre Fleury to the Toronto Maple Leafs in exchange for, it was like a first round pick and Matthew Knies. And the Maple Leafs said Knies is off limits. And I think there was, there might have been some like no movement clause as well. Like Fleury might have wanted to go somewhere specific, which is why he ended up getting traded to a different destination. But like the Hawks kind of tried to go out and get Matthew Knies. Now, I'm not saying, like, I'm sure the Hawks have made these calls all around the league, but that's something where, like, Matthew Knies' name was not in the rumor mill at all leading up to the trade deadline. And then the night before, it just randomly became available. And so the Hawks have the assets now. If somebody randomly became available that could immediately slide into a consistent role for the Blackhawks and play meaningful minutes and fit the long-term trajectory of the rebuild, it's encouraging to hear and know that Kyle Davidson has the draft capital to go out and execute that trade, because it's not just stockpiling draft picks for 2026. He's got picks in 27 and 28 that he can kind of spread the wealth if he chooses to go down that route whenever that player, if that player becomes available.
Yeah, it is hard. And it seems like now in the NHL, it's like players, like impact players, aren't going to free agency. It's like that last year they're getting traded and signed an extension. So, I mean, Knies is locked up for a while, like you said, but you kind of, the way it's evolving now in the market is more these impact guys you're going to have to trade. And in the Hawks case, they're stockpiled with all these picks. They have a lot of young prospects too, if they need to put a player in it or something. So they have a lot of options, which is nice. And it was good to hear Kyle Davidson say, like, we are ready. Cause I think a lot of fans have been like, why isn't Bedard playing with better player? I don't know. Like they're getting frustrated, but a lot of these young guys are starting to play now, and now that they cleared out like a lot of spots for them, you're going to start to see it. But if that established NHL player, I mean, Knies is 23, so he'd fit right in with
exactly.
Everybody. So you probably got to hope Toronto doesn't make the playoffs or something goes sideways where they're even entertaining, like shaking it up. But it is good to know that, I mean, you could even make a trade for like a Knies and you still got a lot of picks. So like, that's the nice position they're in.
Yeah, exactly. And part of the like, I saw some of the comments on social media that happened after the Connor Murphy trade was, why are the Hawks acquiring a second round pick in 2028 when that second round pick likely isn't going to be in the NHL for until like 2031, right? Or be an impact type player in like 2032, 33. And my rebuttal to that is there's a reason he's acquiring those picks down the road, because when the Hawks window slowly starts to open here in the next year or two, hopefully, he wants those extra picks to be potential trade chips for the Blackhawks down the road. And so, like, I even think of a trade that happened, it was a blockbuster trade that happened several years ago. Matthew Tkachuk going from Calgary to the Florida Panthers. It's like, Calgary was probably preparing for a scenario where Tkachuk wasn't going to resign. And so Florida had, it was a different type of trade. It was more of a hockey trade because Jonathan Huberdeau and Mackenzie Weegar went back to Calgary in exchange for Matthew Tkachuk. So it's a little bit different. But if there's a superstar in the NHL that's getting close to the final year of his deal, and he's made it known to his respective NHL team that he's not going to sign an extension there, well, then the Hawks they're going to be licking their chops because they're like, well, we got the assets. Like we'll go out and get this player. And so those are the kinds of things that the Blackhawks management group has been preparing for. And so that's what I would communicate to the fan base. Like, you see these draft picks coming in 27 and 28. And again, I think the Hawks have amassed so many prospects in the system that there are encouraging prospects coming, like Anton Frandell and Roman Kantsarov. And, you know, we'll see what like Nick Lardis is up with the Blackhawks now. So you're seeing these prospects graduate to the NHL level. And the reason why Kyle's is acquiring those picks in a couple years is because he wants to make sure that he's kind of timing it up with when the Blackhawks window opens. So we'll see what happens there. Speaking of Anton Frandell and Roman Kantsarov, Kantsarov, most likely we're going to see him probably at the end of or towards the beginning of next season, because I don't think his KHL season is going to line up particularly with the end of this year. But Anton Frandell's regular season came to an end today. So I wouldn't be surprised if, depending on what the playoff scenario there is, I know they're falling somewhere in between the 7 seed and the 10 seed. I think it's a best of 3 series. Like, if they get eliminated in that 3 round, in the best of 3 series, we could see Frandell like in a week or two here in Chicago, which would be encouraging to see. And so the cupboard is Frandell specifically. There's a lot of excitement there because he actually became the fifth player in SHL Swedish Hockey League history today to score 20 or more goals as an 18-year-old. I mean, that's there's some pretty elite company that he joined, including Daniel Sedin. So that's an exciting part and something to watch in the near future for the Blackhawks.
Yeah, I mean, you're starting to see a lot of these guys come over, and it's kind of Frandell and Kantsarov are kind of like the, I guess, final two that like aren't like in North America that you're kind of waiting on.
Right.
But everybody else is in Rockford or in the NHL right now, or they're in college, and you think they're coming over soon. So hopefully they hit on a few of these guys. I mean, they've taken so many swings in the first round. You got to hope a couple of these guys can hit and be impact guys. But Frandell definitely was someone they were really excited about when we were there at draft night when they drafted him third overall. So it'll be cool to see if he gets over here and maybe gets like 15, 12 games if it works out that way.
All right, got a minute or two left here, and really quick, the current Blackhawks, they're 3-1-2 in their last 6 games now. Connor Bedard's heating up. Well, he has been hot, honestly, since coming out of the Olympic break. Frank Nazar also has been really solid, and so that's been encouraging to see. And then obviously we'll see like Spencer Knight had his first win in a while in the last game, so that's been nice to see. One unfortunate part about the development of this or the last couple games, I'm going to get to it now, the injury report sponsored by Illinois Bone and Joint Institute. Injured after hours, they've got you covered with access to their clinical team beyond regular clinical hours. Learn more at IBJI.com is the injury to Oliver Moore, which Jeff Blashill, a Blackhawks head coach, called it a significant, he's going to miss significant time. Now, to me, that tells me his season is likely over. I did ask Blashill a few days ago after practice whether the significance of the injury could potentially impact the start of next season. And he said, no, it will not impact the start of next season. So I guess that is encouraging. But we talk about some of these young players, Nick Lardis. Hopefully we're going to see Anton Frandell soon. Roman Kantsarov next year. You got Bedard and Nazar that have become like a nice 1-2 punch. Ryan Green has elevated really nicely. It's unfortunate that we're probably not going to see more for the rest of the season, but hopefully he's able to get healthy and make sure that he's officially ready for the start of next season and it doesn't impact his off-season training. All right, that's going to do it for Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Our next show is going to be on Friday, March 20th at 6 o'clock. It's going to be leading right into our pregame show.